Galatians chapter 6, beginning from verse 1, we'll start from there. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of his flesh corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Father in heaven, Lord God, I pray that your blessings may be upon your word to the hearts of each and every single one of us this morning. I pray it may have free course and liberty. I pray that you'd be with all that I've studied and learned about the things that you have taught me from thy word. And I pray that you'd help me communicate this message to the people. Pray that, Father, the evil one, the one that is a deceitful one, be binded up and far away from this place, that we may have liberty around your word. Lord, I pray for those that are tired, weary, hurting, discouraged. I pray that you'd be with their hearts, strengthen their hearts by your word this morning, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Title of the message this morning is to remain profitable, remaining profitable in the work of the Lord. As Christians, as we mature in the faith and as we press forward for the glory of God, wanting to please the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we do for his glory, there are going to be times that we come to a place in our lives that we're going to get tired or weary, or there's going to be a time that the thought of giving up may, you know, occupy our minds, and probably not just giving up the Lord, and you probably have a heart to love the Lord, and even as Peter had a heart to love the Lord and go forward with God, but we know that at a certain time he denied the Lord and he was discouraged regarding that. But there's going to be a time perhaps in your life stages of your Christianity and what God is doing in your life where you perhaps will tire and think of giving up. Thoughts in your mind will cross and think, well, it's too hard, it's too tough. But then you think to yourself, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? When the disciples looked at Jesus, that followed Jesus, and they couldn't follow him no more because of the hard messages that he would press upon them. Not hard, that was hard for them to bear or listen, but they had hard ears to listen. They didn't want to follow him. But when he pushed some buttons in their lives and he realized that, hey, here's the Lord, some of them didn't want to follow him anymore. So they looked at his disciples and said, what are you going to do? Are you going to go too? And he says, no. Where are we going to go? For you hold the words to eternal life. You have the answers to the things that we cry out for, the void that we need to be filling in our lives. But there are moments in your life that you feel like just giving up or saying, I can't keep doing good. You're tiring from doing good. And there are certain reasons why perhaps this may take place in your life or in my life, where you feel weak and tiring from doing good, and you feel like you can't press forward anymore. You feel like the weight is on your shoulders. There are certain reasons perhaps that may happen, and one of the reasons is perhaps in our text The Bible says in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And perhaps sometime in our lives we've sown some seeds that were bad choices, and we're reaping the consequences later on in our lives. Have you ever been there, done that? And you're tired and you're weary of what's gone and what's happened in the past, and you're still paying the consequences. Oh yeah, you're forgiven. God's grace is upon your life and He strengthens you in this time. But many a times you look back and you think, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I had made a right decision in that area. I mean, look, the truth of the matter is God's word is sure. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. When you sow a seed of tomato, you're not going to reap a cucumber. So when you sow good choices in your life, you reap consequences for those choices that you make. When you sow bad choices in your life, you're going to reap the consequences for those bad choices. And sometimes we tire and we think to ourselves, even as Christians, the choices that we made affect us in the future. It could be that. But God's grace is sufficient. God is able to strengthen your heart. God is able to bring you forward even from that time. This is why Paul the Apostle said to himself, the things that he had done, he doesn't focus on those things. He presses forward toward the mark. And at times we have to do that as well. We're going to have to leave him under the blood. We're going to have to leave him with the Lord. And we're going to have to press on from the moment that God has forgiven us and restored us once again. Perhaps it's some decisions in your life that are tiring you and you regret those decisions. Or it could be at the same time, if you look at the text and verse 6, it could be you're weary in well-doing because you have been caught up with false doctrine or false teachings in your life. Let's look at the text and see from verse 11. It says there, ye see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand, as many as desire to make fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. God is not looking that we continue the Christian life with our good works, though we need to do good works. But the source of our good works comes from God and His power and His grace. When we rely on our own strength, we're going to be tired. We're going to be weary in well-doing. That could be, perhaps why people tire, because they started well in God's grace and now they're depending upon their efforts to maintain this salvation that God has given them. There's a doctrine going around about today where they say you can lose your salvation. That's another gospel. And I tell you, that will tire someone. To keep maintaining in their own strength, making sure that all is well and good, depending upon their own ability to maintain what they can't even get in the first place. It's hard. But when you rest in the Lord, and when you rest in the verses that He that begun a good work in you will finish it or would perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, you're able to say, God, I'm going to continue to rest in you and trust in you and hold on to you. I'm going to continue to put my faith in you. Even for service. It could be the fact of someone caught up in bad doctrine, that they're tiring in bad doctrine of this Calvinism that's coming up, the hyper-Calvinism especially creeping up, and I'm not going to go through that, but many probably are not ever familiar with it. Good, you don't want to know about it. Keep away from it. I've had many people come up and they've cried, they're weeping. I'll be weeping too, because it distorts God's character, that doctrine. So they feel discouraged, they feel tired and weary and don't want to continue. What for? Yeah, That's what that doctrine perhaps lays that kind of burden on you. And this is what was happening to some of these Christians. They were weighing up burden, a false doctrine of, you need to be circumcised. And all they wanted is to glory in their flesh. All they wanted was a people that would obey them and not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle said, there's one thing that I glory in, and that's in Jesus Christ. I thank God for the work that God does in lives. And you know what? It is a work of God in lives, not a work of man. If it's a work of man, it won't last. But a work of God, that is what will last forever. I hope that here this morning you have had a touch of God in your life, that it wasn't by your own strength or a strength of another or a manipulation of some sort of teacher, but you came to the final authority in your life, Jesus Christ, the one, the ultimate example in our lives, and you're following Him. I guarantee you, you'll find rest for your souls, especially in salvation. But it could be, at the same time, if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, the people, why we tire and we get weary in well-doing, and the thought in our lives or in our minds come to pass that, hey, we want to finish, we want to quit, I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. It's too complicated. Have you ever come across that feeling before? Have you ever come across the thought that you just can't continue anymore in doing good? Well, notice Hebrews chapter 12, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says there, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And another thing that could be tiring us down is unconfessed sin in our lives. Not laying aside sin which God has told us or pointed it out some time in our lives to get rid of. It could be unconfessed sin, unresolved issues and problems between brethren in our lives can just cause us to be discouraged and weary and tired. And so the best thing to do is lay it aside. The best thing to do is give it to the Lord. The best thing to do is to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to lay this aside. Whatever sin it is in your life, but I really believe people, they continue going to church, but they still got unresolved issues with someone else. That's a problem. Listen, you can only hold up that front for a while, but you're going to get sick and tired of doing that. It's going to eat at you and it's going to destroy you and you're going to be tired. If you let it go too long, guess what you're going to do? You're going to quit church altogether. Oh, there's too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you're just another one added to it. I think we all got that problem in our nature of hypocrisy, amen? If we don't submit to the Holy Spirit of God, if we don't allow God to be in control of our lives, everyone's got hypocrisy in this flesh. Everyone has it. We know how to play. Hey, we don't need a diploma. We don't need a degree. We know how to play church from time to time. Hey, listen, when you're down and out, say it. Oh, everything's okay. Hey, how you doing? The most common thing to say is, everything's fine, brother. Is it? Bear one another's burdens. Man, you've got a problem, tell a brother, pray with a brother. You've got a problem with someone else. Hey, listen, I need to speak to that person over there. He's not right with me. I need to sit down. We need to talk together. I just can't keep going to church and facing that person because I just want to make sure everything's in between us are right. I don't know what it is. I want to make sure I'm right with the preacher. I don't want to come and there's an issue with the preacher. I want to talk with the preacher. Look, listen, the hardest thing is to continue going to church and in your lives when you have a problem that's not resolved, an issue. The best thing is what? To communicate and talk about it. Another thing is that we could lose focus. Notice the next verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, losing focus, taking our eyes off Christ. That's very dangerous. Taking your eyes off Jesus Christ and putting your eyes on men or putting your eyes on yourself can cripple you. That could tire you down. That could get you to a point where you're crippled, get you to the point where you become tired and weary, and perhaps you become bitter and hurt and discouraged because you're losing focus from the one that started that work in you. You've been let down by others or whatever it may be. I don't know what it is. What happens when I come to that point? Why are you doing what you're doing in church? Who are you here for? Him? Or self? Him? Here's our focus. Looking unto Jesus. Notice the next verse there in verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one that was buffeted and troubled more than anyone in this world. If anyone was kicked in the teeth for doing good, it was Jesus. He washed the feet and then later on betrayed with a kiss. Served, loved, crucified, and still uttered the words, forgive him, for they know not what they do. You know what's the best thing that helps me? I'm not the only one that's been hurt. I've hurt others. I've hurt others. Jesus Christ has never hurt anyone. And yet he endured such contradiction against sinners. He endured what he went through. Did you think he deserved it? Many times, I can't do good anymore. I give. I don't get back. What's the best remedy for it? Keep giving. Keep doing good. Don't be weary in well-doing. Because sooner or later, that work done for the glory of God and done in the Spirit of God, it will rub off. You will start reaping in whatever atmosphere, whatever setting it may be, whether it be in the home setting or the work setting or the church setting, whatever it is, you just keep doing what God calls you to do. I mean, I'm not appreciated. I'm overlooked. No one sees what I do. He does. We're going to get to that in a moment. But he kept giving. He kept giving of himself. Now, he was the greatest example that we ever can consider. And consider. I want to encourage you today, if you're weary in well-doing, consider him. Consider Jesus Christ that went all the way to the cross. When I think about the cross of Calvary and what he endured, the shame and the spitting. Can you think about the beard that was plucked? Can you think about our God, a man on the cross, half of his beard plucked? Try to picture that, stripped of his raiment, perhaps just wearing an undercoat, perhaps naked altogether. I don't know, but I try to picture what he went through. And friend, no one's gone through what he went through. No one. Perfect love, unconditional love. Consider him. I know what it is in your life that perhaps that will cause you to faint and be weary and tired. But I want to give you some reasons here and some things that you can remember to keep on keeping on. These things that we've just spoken about, of course, considering Christ is our greatest example. I want you to consider some other things that God in his word allows us to consider. And that is, if we want to remain useful or profitable or people that would be making a difference, if you would, then I want you to consider that our labor is not in vain. Our labor in work, our labor in ministry is not in vain. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 in your Bibles. The church of Corinth were moved in their minds and in their hearts because of others rising up and teaching false doctrine, especially the false doctrine concerning the resurrection. There are some that will say that the resurrection wasn't going to be taking place. And the people in the church were getting tired. What do you mean, no resurrection? Paul the apostle began to encourage them that there is going to be a resurrection. And he began to give them affirmation regarding of what they heard and what they taught. Again, people are weary and tired from false teachings, as we had just seen in the introduction. But hey, listen, at the end of the day, he closes off by saying this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of things that we may do, or a lot of things people may do in this world today, but I'm going to tell you something. If it's outside of Christ and it's not in the Spirit of God for His glory, I'll tell you, it will not last. The Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our labor is not in vain. That's one thing for sure. There's a lot of things in this world that people do that it's all one day going to be under the rubble. Or it's going to be rusted. Or it's going to be moth-eaten. But what we do for the Lord, for the glory of God, is going to last forever. What a blessing that is. Don't tire. Don't be weary in well-doing. Why? Because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In due time you shall reap if you're faint not. Perhaps you won't see much here, but I guarantee you, if you keep going strong, you'll see much in heaven. I've been thinking about it, and I think to myself, just hearing those words from the Master saying, well done, my good and faithful servant, is enough for me. Knowing that I live my life pleasing to God, knowing that I was a profitable servant, someone that made a difference, someone that was careful to live his life for the glory of God and not for himself, and not for the accolades of men, but for the glory of God. Your labor is not in vain. Remain profitable. Do not be weary in well-doing. Keep on keeping on, because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, because your labor is not in vain. But not only your labor is not in vain, but also your labor for the Lord is a great work. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Would you turn there in your Bibles? Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. God burdened Nehemiah for a work. And he found out that the walls of Jerusalem were basically broken down. And the word of the Lord came to Nehemiah. Nehemiah began to pray and fast and weep for this burden which God had laid upon his heart. Later on in the passage, you see that God had communicated that burden, allowed him to communicate that burden to the king. And the king, we know that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and God had made a way for him to go and work this work of rebuilding the walls, and goes to the people of Israel and telling them what God had burdened them to, burdened him to do. And they said, oh, okay, we're going to strengthen our hands for this work. And later on, you see in the passage of scripture that their hands were weakened, and there were reasons for that. I wish I could, tell you those reasons, but I'm not for now, for the sake of time. But there were reasons why their hands were weakened and they were weary in well doing. But, I want to tell you something. We can continue to keep on keeping on, because our work is not in vain. And look, not only that, but the work which we are involved in is a great work. And so what happened with Nehemiah is this. Word got back to Nehemiah saying that you're wanting to rebel against the king, and you want to be king. That's what's going on. You want the preeminence and you want to be king. Now imagine Nehemiah getting that news. I don't know about you, but if I was him, I'd be finished. Rumors going around that this guy wants the preeminence, he wants control, he wants the king, he wants to revolt. They called him up for a meeting several times. Notice the answer came back over here, and he said in verse 3, and I sent messages unto them saying, I am doing a what? Great work. so that I cannot come down. Why should the work, what? Cease. Whilst I leave it and come down to you. You can chase every accusation printed in the paper and the front covers all you want, but all you're doing is leaving what God's called you to do. You stay on the wall. You stay doing what God's called you to do because His work is great. Oh, but there's some rumors going around about you that you're in it for yourself. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. You know, sometimes those rumors can actually help you stay on the wall and refocus your motivation or even your motives in doing what you're doing. It's good. But don't let it discourage you from getting off and doing what someone else wants you to do. What did they want you to do? Stop. Absolutely. It's hard. Heavy. It would have been. What kept him going? The work that I'm involved in. It's a great work. Why? Because we have a great God. We serve a great God. You can say amen. We serve a great God. You wouldn't stop. Getting a call 3 o'clock in the morning. Saying, get out of Newcastle, don't come back. I want to just pray. I ask you to pray for me. But that tells me that the devil's not happy. That tells me that the work that we're engaged in is a great work and we're making a difference and the devil doesn't want that. You know what, brethren, let me tell you something. We don't have no time in this church to fight one another and backbite one another. As every member set on their wall, which Nehemiah appointed them to have on that wall, that wall, that wall, that wall, every man and his family doing a work. Let every person in this church find their place, and God willing, we are going to have a ministry moment where everyone's going to find and pray that the place which God has called them to do in this church that's been started. But listen, be patient. And be witnesses, and I encourage you over and time again, be fervent in witnessing and let that be your most desirable thing. Because the devil doesn't want the seed to go out. When it goes out, he's worried. When we go down on our knees and we pray for one another, he's shaking. But when we fight and we talk about one another and we bicker and do things about one another, guess what happens? He's laughing. You know, we don't need to help the devil. Amen. We don't. We don't need to help the devil. Amen. Because the devil wants to cause discord, not only in the church, but in your family. He wants to tear you up. He wants to break the marriage relationship between husband and wife. I'll tell you why. Because once he puts his hand in that, he knows the kids are destroyed. That's what happens. So instead of the husband and wife, fighting each other, what they should do is pray with each other. Have a family altar and pray for one another. Cast down any false imaginations, especially when people are trying to do good to you and they're trying to help you. And Satan puts thoughts in your mind or temptation comes to the thought that, hey, you know what, my parents don't want the best for me. They always told me not to do this or not to do that. But if anyone wants the best for you, it's your parents. Absolutely. But there's always disunity and always the voices will come and the letters will come and the accusations will come. Why? Because the devil wants you to get off from the work of God. God's set you in your home to be perhaps someone that will rear up your children in the way of the Lord. The devil wants to destroy that. And so Nehemiah, what did he know? What we're engaged in and what we're a part of is this is the work of God and it's great. And I'm not going to be distracted from the different voices that will come. Not. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. The papers are always going to print about you. Always. Good and bad. If it's good, praise the Lord. Give it to God. If it's bad, give it to God too. If it's true, adjust, get right with God. Amen. Because I tell you, it will tie you down. It will cripple you. It will mess you up. You just want to give up. What for? Whatever. That's what the devil wants. But always remember what we're engaged in together, even as a family, is for the glory of God, and it's the best work that you can be involved in. The best. So I'm not really that involved. Get involved. A lot of people out there don't know the Lord. So I'm not really a person that knows how to preach the gospel. Go out, give them a tract, put them in letterboxes, do what you can to get the seed out. Be a testimony in your community. Don't have to be a preacher, but you can be a witness of what God has done in your own life. What we heard today is a testimony, being a witness of what God has done in a life. And the devil wants to stop that. But not only the work is a great work, but also I want you to understand that our labor is not in vain. It's a great work, but also it's a remembered work. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Though there may be those that are perhaps blind to your service or goodness or benevolence of love that you've extended to the brethren, or even outside of the brethren, those that you go to the community and you want to love them and do good things to them. I want to remind you today, if anyone is just overlooking that, God doesn't overlook it. God remembers. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards His name. I love that. It's for His name. It's for always His glory, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not forgetful. Your work that is done for the glory of God is remembered. Turn with me your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Excuse me. In Mark chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in whose name? In my name. Because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. In his name, for the glory of God." Every person that is spirit-filled Christian at the same time will also remember your labor of love. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll quote it, you don't have to turn there, but listen. In verse 2, the Bible says, "We give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Paul the Apostle says, we remember your work. We thank God for your work. Look, listen, spirit-filled Christians will always be thankful and appreciative of what you do. They'll always notice, and they'll always be praying for you and thanking God for you. You are perhaps overlooked by others, but at the end of the day, there are some that are praying for you. There are some that consider your labor of love and are thankful to God for the Spirit of God that works in you. So I've been overlooked many a times. Well, there are those that are remembering you in prayer, and there is God that remembers you also. You're remembered. Sometimes I don't feel remembered, but that's okay. Just keep going. Do it for Him. Do it for His glory. Do it for the sake of the gospel. As therefore we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I want to tell you to remain unprofitable, because your presence makes a difference. Go to Philippians chapter 1 in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 1. Your presence makes a difference. Your labor is not in vain. The work which you're engaged in is a great work. There's no doubt about that, because we serve a great God. God remembers your labor of love, and some Christians do too. And they thank God for you. But also, your presence is encouraging. Your presence is encouraging. Paul the Apostle says in this verse over here, he says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 23, "For I am straight betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ," note it, "and which is far better." But then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. As therefore we have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially the household of faith." Paul the Apostle knew that if he lived, he lived for Christ. He lived for the glory of God. And living for the glory of God is to live for others. So your presence is encouraging. I think about having an opportunity to make a difference in another Christian's life, playing a part in the body of Christ and what God wants me to do in their life. And if I'm weary, tired, there goes more opportunity. I remember one time, coming to 2007, probably mid-year of 2007, and there was a couple of months I was just down and out. There was times I'd go in my room and I'd pray and I'd say, "Lord, I just want to go home. I want to go home." Sometimes I'll pray that way. Or sometimes I'll go before the Lord and I'll pray on my knees and I'll say, "Lord, when are you going to come? When are you going to come? I want you to come now." Man, that was so hard, pressured. I was so pressed down. There was not a few years later that I was making decisions that I'd lose friends, I'd lose family, I'd lose the one I was going to get married. And on top of that, persecution from all over the place and pressed down. And I, at that time, I was in Bible college, and the assignments came, and the exams came, and the quizzes came. And I'm not familiar with this. I never really studied back at school. This was like new to me. And not only that, I had a full-time job, and I had two mortgages. And then I had a sour relationship that had gone wrong even after breaking up with that fiancé at the time. It takes a toll on you. I remember having about 3-4 ulcers down my throat. I just wanted to go home. Yeah, I went to church. Yeah, I was founded in the prison ministry. I was there all the time. But I was unprofitable because my spirit, my mind, I was weary, I was tired. I really wasn't making a difference. I was just showing up. Serious. And it happened for quite some time. And all I wanted is to go home. "Lord, take me home." I'd go back from serving, go back in my room and just cry and read and pray and just be pity Charlie. It took a toll on me. Pressured down, weary, tired. And then something happened that God allowed in my life, and I want to share it with you probably a few weeks from now, next week, probably in the evening. I got jumped by 5 guys. They stabbed me twice and kicked me in the head. When I was at the hospital that time, the doctor said, "Just a little bit more and you've been gone." And I'm thinking to myself, "Praise God. Just a little bit more. My prayer would have been answered." But then it dawned on me, and God spoke to my heart. He said, "Charlie, yeah, it's far better to be with me, but you've lost your opportunity to make a difference for eternity. You lost your opportunity to enjoy your friends and family." Man, I look, my relationship with my mum was strengthened. My dad was strengthened. I'm not always going to have them as my mum and dad. One day they're going to be my brother and sister in the Lord. You're not always going to be husband and wife. I guarantee that. One day you're going to be brothers. Enjoy that moment together as husband and wife. Enjoy it. That made me realize my relationships that I had at that moment. And everything else was insignificant. Like, what am I worried about? God has given me one candle to burn for His glory. This candle that God has given me. And I said to the Lord, "Forgive me. Forgive me for praying such prayers. What good am I in the grave?" The psalmist said. What good am I? I remembered remain profitable because you only got one chance to make a difference for eternity. One chance to make a difference in that, in the life of your kids. One chance to make a difference for your wife. One chance to make a difference in the life of your husband. One chance. You miss out on that. You get one opportunity. You get one lifetime here on earth to make a difference for God's glory. One chance. My opportunity would have been taken away. I've been with the Lord, but my opportunity to make a difference, not in everyday, not just in everyday things, but just in the life that God has given me per se. One candle to burn. There are many other things the Lord had taught me during these times. I'll leave it for another time. Jude says in verse 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. Listen, friend, when you pity yourself, you really can't pity others. You can't have compassion on others. When you're always weary and well-doing and focused on self, you can't make a difference in someone else's life. You won't have a burden to go out soul winning. Because you're always engaged with what you're going to do and what's going to please you from day to day and week by week. Lastly, our place in service can make our place, our remaining profitable, and the motivation or the encouragement to remain profitable is understanding this principle. Our place in service can be easily replaced like that. Service as into God. Him being Lord, Him being the Master. Turn with me your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remain profitable because your labor is not in vain, and the work that you're engaged in is a great work, and not only that, that God remembers your labor of love. And remembering that we only have one chance to make a difference for eternity on the life of the other, but at the same time, remain profitable, useful, because your place can be easily taken care of. Notice what it says there in verse 10 of Timothy chapter 4. For Demas hath what? Forsaken me, having loved this present world. Notice he keeps on saying, only Luke in verse 11 is with me. Take Mark and bring him with me. Why? For he is what? He is what? Profitable to me for the ministry. A man that once said, no, I don't want Luke. Now he says, I want him. Thank God for Barnabas, amen. Take him under him wing and saw the potential that he had. In time, he'll grow. And he says, I can use him now. But this other man, he's gone to the world. I feel sorry for Demas. Was Demas ever a Christian? I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say whether he was or wasn't. But you know what? In some of the letters, Paul thanked him. Or actually, he made reference with his name in the letter. And now where is he? Had enough of it? He desired to have the pleasures of this life? And he was replaced like that. I think to myself, Charlie, God doesn't need you. He's just given you an opportunity to be a part of what He is doing. What He is doing. When God said to Jeremiah, call unto me and I'll show you, and I'll answer thee and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God's will was going to continue to take place with or without Jeremiah. But God gave Jeremiah an opportunity to be in part of God's great work. And I guarantee you, God can raise up another prophet any time to do His work for His glory. We're easily replaced. God can easily replace us. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him, for he is profitable to me, he says, for the ministry. For the ministry. God really doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. Amen. And it's a privilege and it's an honor to be part of what God is doing. What an honor it is. You find it to be an honor today. I want to encourage you. Don't be weary in well-doing. Does that mean stop being tired? No, you will. But keep going. Don't give up. You say, okay, well, how do I find this strength? These truths are great. These principles are great. And these wonderful thoughts are great. But how do I have the source to keep going, the power to keep going? 2 Timothy and chapter 2. And we'll finish with that last passage of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In this passage, Paul would use three different kinds of examples that would demonstrate faithfulness, endurance, with integrity. And he uses three different kinds of people. One of them will be a soldier, and another one will be an athlete, and another one will be a laborer or a farmer. It's amazing how in the first six verses he'll just use these different ones. Let's look at them just quickly together. Through verses 1 to 4 in 2 Timothy, he goes, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may what? Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It is him that chooses us, amen. And it's him that he's given us an opportunity to please him. And he says, look, a soldier doesn't be entangled with the affairs of this life. He knows who's his master. He knows who he's serving. He knows where the battle lies. You cannot serve two masters. He says, a soldier's one that endures hardness and fights the good fight of faith.